And we're joined this morning, Senator Mike Crapo from the Capitol. Senator, welcome. Good to have you with us again.
It's great to be with you.
Well, give us an update on the big things happening in Washington, D.C.
Well, it's mostly much more of the same. We are still trying to pass the NDAA, which is our National Defense Authorization. We're still trying to pass appropriations bills, and we are still trying to pass the SAVE Act. But the Democrats are fighting us on every front and delaying. They bring a resolution on a war powers resolution about twice a week. You know, we've voted on 16 of them now. They just use those to use up time on the floor. And then, I mean, they're literally voting against our national defense. They're voting against keeping the government open. They're voting against really provisions that would establish and strengthen our relationship with Israel. And they won't even support the Russia sanctions bill that at least many of them won't. We do have some bipartisan support for the Russia sanctions bill that Senator Lindsey Graham had negotiated before he passed away. So it's just battle, battle, battle up here.
Well, one of those, let's talk. I saw a story yesterday that Speaker Johnson was able to get through reconciliation some money for election integrity for states around the country. Basically, grants for states that can show certain benchmarks in terms of election security. How do you think that will fare over on the Senate side?
I think that provision itself would be very strongly supported by Republicans. Of course, you know, the Democrats won't vote for anything like that. And it would have to be done in reconciliation. The bigger problem, though, is reconciliation on the Senate side. We haven't seen the exact language that the House is using. It sounds like it's what you and I have talked about before, where we can get it past the Byrd rule in a reconciliation bill. But anything we do in reconciliation would then throw whatever the topics of that reconciliation bill are into a broad voterama in the Senate and raise dozens and dozens of other amendments on the Senate floor that just create problems if we can't hold the line on all of them. So that provision itself would fare well in the Senate. The reconciliation bill would be a problem, probably just depending on what topics they cover it in it in the House.
Let me piggyback a quick question, because we are talking about election security. The president addressed the nation last week, I believe it was a Thursday night, and he laid out this concern, and he had declassified some documents showing that intelligence agencies had essentially sanitized the presidential daily brief, so he didn't realize or didn't understand and was not informed about China's involvement in our elections. I'd love your reaction to it in the midst of all of this.
Well, first of all, unfortunately, it was not a surprise to me. I think many of us here, and probably most people in the country, have had concerns about the fact that Russia and China and other countries are trying to meddle in our elections. And what is of great concern about what the president pointed out was that we had established this, that our intelligence agencies had confirmed this, and that information was not only kept from him, but from the American people. And I think it was not a shocking announcement, but a surprising announcement that we finally found out the kind of things that should not be kept from either the president or the people of this country.
All right. So I'm going to borrow Neil's phrase and piggyback off of your first answer to the questions about what's going on in Washington. Can we go back to that funding of the defense? We're in the middle of this war. We're on the 11th straight night of U.S. forces attacking Iran. So how does that work for our military? Are we, if we do not pass this, are we going to have to pull back in Iran because we're going to start to deplete our reserves too much? Or are we built it's strong enough at this point that we can continue this offensive in Iran and still have this holdup in the Senate?
Well, that's a very good question. The bottom line here is that you'll recall we put a significant amount of money for our national defense in what was called the One Big Beautiful Bill or the Working Families Tax Cut Act that we did in the first part of this presidency. And there is money in there that can be used. It's not intended for use in the Iran war, but it could be diverted from other parts of military support to be used. And that would get us by for quite a while. That being said, at some point, and this is the Democrat strategy, at some point, if they don't authorize, that's the NDA, if they don't authorize the spending, when you get to the appropriations process, which they are also refusing to do, if they don't vote for the spending, their goal is to defund any of the president's activities. And I don't know the exact outcome here because our nation has never faced this, but the president does have the right to declare a national emergency. And this is just my thinking. If he declared a national emergency because the Congress will not fund our national security and we are at war, I believe he could utilize that power to proceed, and then to be basically what we would need to do is to what we do now on multiple fronts is to borrow money in the bond market and fund the activities. Now, again, that is just my answer. I don't know if constitutional scholars would say that could be done, but it certainly seems to me that that's probably where we would have to end up if we can't break this logjam.
We're talking with Senator Mike Crapo. Senator, let's shift gears and talk about a bill you're working on with Florida U.S. Senator Ashley Moody to regulate the importation of pill presses as well as the precursor chemicals to manufacture illicit drugs like fentanyl. How regulatable is that to be able to monitor pill press equipment coming into the country?
Well, it's doable. And the reality is that the ingenuity that is behind getting drugs, illegal drugs or precursors or the technology and equipment to manufacture them is just alarming. I mean, I believe that we do have the ability, especially if we will fund it, to analyze, identify, and then interdict these kinds of in this case, products and stop them from moving in our country. But it's again a very good question. We must have the ability, which is what this legislation does, to go after these kinds of activities.
All right. And something that's really important, Senator Crapo, to East Idaho is the INL, obviously. And I saw that there has been some money allocated. It won't specifically go to the INL, but it will be part of a nuclear tech hub designation. Do you want to explain that to our listeners so that and if that money will benefit the INL at all?
Oh, yes, it'll definitely benefit the INL. It's a $31 million, I believe. It's a grant that came out of a process of grants that President Trump initiated and Congress supported and created. And it's a grant to have our government fund nuclear tech hubs. This is to look at places like the INL. We've got some in, as you know, in Washington nuclear facilities. This particular tech hub was related more to, I think, Wyoming and some of the other countries that were a little bit to the east and south of Idaho. But it is to help connect these think tanks, if you will, or labs, as we have in the case of the INL and other places, and even some private sector companies, I think, to keep them all connected and working so that they can multiply the influence of their efforts in strengthening our nuclear programs. And yes, this will be very beneficial. INL will be one of the leads in this tech hub.
And let's talk about that for a moment. I don't know how much actual competition there is, but I recently was driving through northern Utah and I heard some radio ads, and they're promoting the expansion of nuclear in Utah as well. Obviously, yes. We'd love to see nuclear development here. Are we kind of competing for the same space with Utah in this case, or is it kind of different?
You know, I'm sorry. You always get me once in a while with a question. I can't recall whether Utah was one of them in this particular tech hub, but I know that some of the other states surrounding Idaho were partners in this.
Yeah.
And so I don't think that even if Utah is not part of this tech hub, they'll probably be in some other tech hub. And will they be competitors? Yes, in a sense that they won't be working in the same organizational process, but they're all working toward the same objective, and that is to expand the research, technology, development, and production of nuclear power. I don't think that the Idaho lab, would really worry about that kind of competition. In fact, we work very closely with Utah already on a lot of nuclear projects, and I think it would be perceived more as a partnership rather than a competition.
I think I'm a little twitchy after Utah tried to make us pay their gas tax. So
there's just this built-in brother-sister competition going on.
Yeah. Maybe we can get Mike Moyle to manhandle him again. That'd be all right. So
that works for me.
All right. Senator Mike Crapo, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you. Thanks.
All right.